Got a Vente Pulverize for creative disturbance.
Hey guys, good evening, good afternoon, whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wherever you are.
I'm with Shruti and Yusra today, and we want to discuss about how international students can handle their job opportunities inside the US, and how we can try to meet new people and try to understand what career paths we choose. And we wanted to discuss on this, and the topic came up when Yusra was telling us about her experience in recruitment and working as a district manager for some time, and how she went into sales and she actually recruited a few sales managers. And Yusra is presently completing her master's in
Applied Cognition and Neuroscience.
Thanks
yes.
again. And Shruti is completing her master's in
Applied Cognition and Neuroscience.
And we both specialize in human computer interaction. So
yeah. And Yusra, my first question is, how did you get your first job and how was your first interview?
So I think this interview process is going to be helpful to international students and just people
the
overall.
General people too.
Yeah, because I don't necessarily specialize in international
students.
Yeah, of course. So my first job, my very first job, I worked at Taco Bell. I worked at Taco Bell as a cashier. And you know, the interesting thing is, the only job that I got from applying online through my resume was just one job, but out of like the so many jobs that I've had, like
yeah.
most of them I got them through meeting people, you know. And so the most important thing that I can say is that, especially for international students, there is a bias that we face for having a different name. So let's say you know, for me, my name is Yusra Khan, and I lived up in Connecticut, and there's not a lot of people that have my type of a name.
Yeah.
So a manager told me once that, you know, I would have never expected someone like you, because I wasn't even sure if you're a guy or a girl,
yeah.
you know, from the name or what part of the world he came from.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, when we see a name like this, the second thing that goes in our mind is like, should we call this person? Because we don't know if they will speak English fluently and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And I thought, even though it may sound like, you know, he was making judgments about my name and stuff, but he was very honest about
I'm
this.
Sure. Yeah.
And I know that if he was facing this when he saw my resume, because clearly he called me and he gave me the job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I can tell you guys that there are other people that are looking at names like ours and thinking like, oh, this person, what kind of a background do they come from? As a matter of fact, they did a study where they had like 500 resumes, identical resumes, of people like international names like Shruti Sripathi, or even people with like ethnic African-American names.
Yeah.
And then they had names that were like, you know, names like Ashley, you know, Caucasian American names.
Yeah.
And for identical resumes, the people that got the most phone calls were obviously the Caucasian names.
Names, yeah.
Because you see that the hiring managers, majority of the hiring managers in the industry are, you know, are predominantly white.
Yeah.
Now, this is not in a negative tone,
yeah, yeah.
but this can be used as an advice that you want to put yourself out there by meeting people.
Yeah.
If you're sitting in front of the computer and you're applying for jobs, the likelihood of you getting a job is slimmer than when you're actually out meeting people, going to career events, you know, whether
yeah.
you're at UTD, go meet the managers, you
yeah.
know, go talk to them. Have a business card. I know we're students, but
yeah.
have a business card.
Yeah, you can
and put down on your business card what you specialize in,
yeah.
you know, or maybe a project that you're working on. Because by submitting a resume, a lot of times, actually, when you're submitting a resume for a job that you see online, it's already filled.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
About 80% of the jobs, this is one of the statistics when I was helping I used to work as a career services advisor. And one of the facts was that 80% of the jobs that you see online are already filled, but they still go online because they want to reconsider a person, you know, because they have a candidate, but they're not 100% sure.
Yeah.
So 80% of the jobs that you see online are probably already filled, or they already have somebody within the organization that's going to probably get the job. Because companies prefer somebody that they can, you know, recruit from within than outside, you know? So that's my first advice for international students. You know, dress up nice. Become a walking, talking resume. So yes, you have a sheet of paper that looks beautiful and has all your contact information and everything, and it has all your experiences. But when you're going up to a recruiter, you need to become that resume. You need to start talking, you know, be like, and don't be like stating it like, I did this from this year to this year.
Yeah, and the point comes where, where even I advise people coming from there, it's not just about turning into a different person just because you're applying for a job, but it, you should put that as your life activity itself. And it's not like whenever only you're applying for an interview or going for an interview, you should become this person and walk into that guy's shoes. That's what I tell them. You come here, you gotta go out and meet people just like that. Need not be for a job, need not be for anything else. You just gotta go out and meet people, get a feel of the field you're in. Get a feel of the people around you're in, because each state has its own kind of people. And the more you understand how these people think, the more you'll understand how to approach them later and whenever they meet them or whenever they shake hands with them.
Absolutely.
Because it's like a warm-up exercise for you before you get into the real game, right?
Yeah.
So that's right. That's what I feel like the advice is like, you got to take it as a life activity. You just don't take it as a boxed game. You got to take it everywhere you take, meet people.
Finding a job is honestly a full-time job itself, if not more.
Yeah.
You know? So that's one of the things to keep in mind. Like, it's a very stressful process when you're looking for a job. Again, I mean, we are here in Dallas, Texas, right?
Yeah.
And we have plenty of resources because University of Texas Dallas provides their students with a lot of different resources to get hired. So, you know, there's workshops, there's events that are happening all the time. There are events even happening for, like, international students, you know? So this is a great place. But for for students that might be in areas that are not as diverse, you know, there might not be that many companies that have great diversity policies either, you know, and the managers might have some biases, you know, or something like that. So to get past that, you know, you need to put yourself out there. You need to start talking. And I know it's a little bit easier for people like me that are extroverts, but people that are introverts, it can be a bit of a challenge, but you need to get out there and you need to start talking. Yeah. That's one of my tips for now.
And when you were, Brandy said the other day, like one of the people who ran a workshop here said the other day, she said during an interview, try to interview the person who's interviewing you.
Yeah.
So what is your take on that comment?
Absolutely. I agree. Brandy came here from Sabre for a UX workshop that we did in A-Tech. And she did a phenomenal job going through StrengthFinder, and I found it to be super helpful. And one of the most important things that she mentioned was that you should be also interviewing the person or the organization at the same time. And I think that definitely sticks to me. And I always believe that too. So when I was training my students to prepare for job interviews, I would say it's kind of like dating, you know?
Yeah.
Like you go on a date to see if this place is a good match for you. Because people don't always work for organizations. People work for people, you know? Like we work here with Roger Molina and Cassini Nazir.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily work for A-Tech.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we have a culture in the Art Sci Lab that we understand, but the first people that, you know, that interviewed us leave an impact on us, and we know what kind of the expectations are, what type of a culture this organization has.
Yeah.
So it's okay to ask questions during the interview to the interviewer, to ask them, be like, how do you feel about, you know, your job, or what do you like the most, or, you know, the questions that might be a little bit different. One of the students that I trained I trained for an interview did something really interesting. He asked if I could take a tour of the facility, you know, at the end of the interview, and they were like, wow, this person is, you know, so confident.
Yeah.
And they could have easily said no, because, you know, obviously there might be some information that they don't want to share.
Yeah.
But he wanted to get the feel of the culture and, you know, what it might feel like. So, you know, definitely I think you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But before, before the interview actually begins, like, the person can decide whether or not you're going to get the job within the first 5 seconds of the interview, you know, because if you think about it, a hiring manager take a look at your resume, they already know, before they pick out your resume, they have probably scanned in the computer system 3,000 resumes to just get you to come through that door, you know, so that's already a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it all depends on your handshake, you know, your smile, and and how you're going to do in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So within the first 5 seconds, most people, and interviewers don't really know that, but they make a decision about the person that they want to hire.
Yeah.
And this is where neuroscience comes in,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're always constantly making decisions about people. And a lot of those decisions are not conscious, they're subconscious decisions.
Yep.
You know, you have that gut feeling about the person, right? So, and they did a research at Yale University on interviews. So it was really interesting, because what they did was they had, let's say they recruited one person. So Shruti is the interviewer, and you're the candidate that's going to come in and be interviewed by Shruti. So if Shruti was holding a cold coffee in her hand 10 seconds prior to the interview, that can change the response of whether or not she would like you or not.
Okay.
So they did the study where they recruited interviewers and, you know, people that were going to get interviewed for identical interviews. Every time the interviewer was holding a cold cup of coffee, they were like, I don't know if I like this person. They didn't even realize that that was impacting them that way. But every time they were holding a hot cup of coffee, the feeling of warmth is comfort. They were like, you know, I think I might hire this person.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So actually, I can share that with you guys.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. So there are different things that are impacting the decisions that we're making, you know, essentially. And then the time of the day that you have the interview, right? That's another important thing to consider. So if your interview is after lunch, you're probably going to get the job if it's like right after lunch, you know, but if it's at the end of the day, that you might not get the job.
Yeah.
I don't know, that person might be tired or something.
Yeah.
The best times, although, to make a decision is like an hour after you wake up, because your serotonin levels are like perfect.
Yeah.
So that's really when your interview should be.
Yeah.
But there's things that impact the decision. So it's not always you that didn't get the job. There's so many different reasons why you might not get that job. That's why panel interviews are really good. Although they can be very scary.
Scary too, because three people or four people are staring at you.
I was sitting in a panel interview with 9 people.
Mm-hmm.
I was 9 overwhelmed. Yeah, 9 managers.
People?
Yeah, it was a sales position, and they wanted, and they expected me to prepare a 3-month plan for when I get on the job. So they expected me to study their entire business, to understand what's happening. And they asked me, it's like, so what are you going to do the first week of your job? What are you going to do the second week of your job? The third week of your job, you know? And that's what happens when you get to that management level.
Yeah.
They don't have time. There's no knowledge transfer.
Yeah.
They want you to come in and get busy. And you better have a plan, because the plan that you talk about, that's the plan that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that actually could apply to us too. You know, we're going into a brand new field, or Shruti or I are going into a brand new field of user experience.
Yeah.
And we can use this. We can actually, if you sit in an interview, this is something that you can definitely do. Be like, hey, I know that I'm not required to, but I do have, based on my research, I have created a, you know, a 90-day or a 60-day plan. And, you know, and it could be about, I'm going to do research on the organization, I'm going to do this, that, whatever. And that really impresses people, because it should, right?
Yeah.
That shows that you have invested so much time to learn about the organization,
right.
You know, and prepared yourself for the role already.
Right.
So that's the most important thing. One of the biggest mistakes that most people make is that they'll apply for a job without even looking what the company does.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I can say this easily, if you really want to work there, you'd probably do your research. And if you don't want to work, if you don't do your research and you don't know what the company does, then why should they even hire you in the first place? Because you won't be happy, right?
Yeah.
It's like that dating thing, right?
Yeah,
you need to know like about the person before you date them a little bit to see if it's worth it, right? Otherwise it's not gonna go through.
And so, continue.
Yeah, I have a question for you. So, being a woman, and there's obviously a discrimination of gender when you, you know, in some of the industries when you want to work there. So, what things can be done to, or as a recruiter, like what is the ideal behavior that they take into consideration in order to decide whether they want you or not?
You know, that's a really interesting question, and I don't have a solid answer for that. Because I think, ideally, in the situation that we're sitting right now, we are in a very diverse area, so I don't think that's one thing that we have to worry about. And luckily, most organizations are moving towards the direction of hiring people of different cultural backgrounds and having, you know, less gender biases, so they want to have more women, you know, in the industry. A couple of years ago, I did a project where I was offered to study the relationship of women in an engineering firm with expatriate Korean managers. The company was really surprised to see that there were so many women leaving the organization, and they wanted to see why that was happening in the first place. So that's why they hired this outside company to come in and just do an organizational science study of what was happening. So they realized, and it came down after running all these T-tests and everything on SPSS, we figured out the reason why women were leaving and why the culture of the organization was changing so much was because the cultural difference, right? The expatriate managers were more likely, so let's say if Ritvik and Shruti, if you guys both raise your hand and I'm a male manager, which most of them were male managers, I would probably pick on Ritvik first and answer his question over your question. And that's, again, a subconscious thing that happens. You know, maybe it's conscious, but sometimes people don't notice themselves having that bias, you know? We're not always conscious about the things that we're doing.
True.
So
how was your experience in India?
Let's talk about that.
Working there? Well, at SAP Labs, like, it was actually a very diverse place, and there were a lot of women who were working there, and a lot of actually like married women with children and everything who were working there, so it was pretty flexible for people, and I didn't see a lot of discrimination there, but probably something, you know, unconsciously or subconsciously it was happening, which I didn't notice probably. But here I do see a lot of discrimination, maybe because of the gender or because of the race, or, you know, it could be any of the factors. But I was just curious to know, like, what goes on behind their in their mind, like, to make a decision as to whether to pick this candidate or not. Should we go with the male candidate or a female candidate, or with different ethnicity, or, like, you know,
I don't think that's one thing you should keep it. I think if we think that can also impact how we perform in the interview, you know? So, I mean, that's what you have to worry about when you're sitting in the interview. Like, you don't have to worry about that a male candidate is going to get the job over you. I think you need to be 100% confident in yourself, you know, when you're sitting there. Because you honestly don't
know. Yeah, it's almost like what we discussed. It's like using the agency to prepare your documents. You don't need that agency. You don't need preparation. You should just start it off as a new page. And go there as yourself.
Yeah.
Start there.
You need to, I think we need to, as long as you do your research and your homework before the interview, all you need to do is be confident.
Yeah.
Because if you know you're the right person for the job, you have to demonstrate it to them, you know, and they'll see it. And if they fail to see it, then that's on them, right? Then they lost a great candidate that really wanted the job and that was going to come and excel for their organization.
Yeah.
So I think that mindset, even though numbers don't lie and the statistics are there that male are more likely
and
to get promoted and all that stuff.
Subconscious don't lie to it, because what you felt is true. If you feel it, you feel it. But ultimately, at that point, you should just forget all the feelings, that all your past experiences should just vanish, and it should be like a new story each day. Each interview, I feel, should be like a new story. It should not have any connections to your previous interviews, because you never know. Because ultimately what she said was really right. You should think of a company as not a name or a building, as a bunch of people itself. They're ultimately
mm-hmm.
people who are taking in
with.
People.
Yeah.
And you should understand that they're also just like us at one
mm-hmm.
point in our life. So it's,
yeah.
Each person has a different mood at a different time of a day. So it's all about, it's not about like, it's just like how sometimes I feel like people work there so hard, and I see all these reaction videos of people waiting for the Princeton results, for their Ivy League school
mm-hmm.
results, and there's like all 10 people in front of that screen enter, and oh my god, he made it, and everyone's like clapping and everything, right? So it's like it's not a math deal there. You can't do 1 + 1 = 2. It's never like that. It's
mm-hmm.
always whatever you have, be strong in whatever you're showcasing, and you say that this is my strength, and if this works out, I'm going to help out in the company in this way and help out you guys probably. And I think the more you have to portray yourself as a person who wants to work with other people, because
mm-hmm.
that's what people want right now, I
yeah.
think. And they don't want just people who are just thinking about themselves or their own project, and I will do this. I think you should make it a more collaborative. And you say, I'll help the people in this team and that team, because always everyone talks about
yeah.
team building. And
yeah. So when I was hiring people as a district manager, I was hiring for sales roles. And most of the time, people have this assumption that extroverts are probably great at sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. That's not
yeah.
always true. My best sales leader was an introvert, you know? And he did a phenomenal job, you know? And my second best leader was an extroverted personality, and she really enjoyed talking a lot. But it's not about that. So sometimes another thing is that recruiters or managers will see is that, you know, they might like an extroverted person more because they're more open and they're talking and stuff like that. But in the field that in this field of UX that you're going to, luckily we have the opportunity of showcasing a portfolio.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
So this is a skill-based
mm-hmm.
industry. You know, but I unfortunately for people in business, women in business, it's a little bit tougher
mm-hmm.
because business, it speaks a different language from arts and technology
yeah.
and science,
yeah.
you know, so this would be a whole different type of an interview introduction if we were talking with business students, because
yeah.
they have it tougher.
Yeah.
I think majority of the business students in UTD and JSOM are male.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
them, yeah.
and you see, and even for, if you look at most women, you don't really see them in business. Women are going in different fields and,
right.
you know, and sometimes it's harder to move up. I mean, in the company that I was working, I was the youngest district manager that the company has ever come across.
Yeah.
On top of that, I was, one of the only, managers that was of color or internet immigrant family, you know, so I was very different to the organization. And I'm so glad that my boss picked me, because it's so easy in sales to pick the person that's like, you know, people person or, you know, male and extroverted and
yeah.
tall and, you know, they could have done that. But and it happened. Because the person, my boss, I can say his name actually, Eugene Cummings, he understood that the person that they wanted to hire as a district management role had to deal with people. And that person need to have the skills of psychology and organizational science and different things,
yeah.
you know, to
yeah.
become a sales leader that can teach other people to become sales managers,
oh, okay.
you know. So. And that's where it's, knowledge is teaching managers to recruit effectively.
Mm.
Organizations spend a lot of money on hiring people.
Yeah.
Because if they hire the wrong person, that person's going to come in and they're going to leave within a very short period of time.
Right.
And that's impacting the business. That's
mm-hmm.
losing, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they're very careful about that. And HR and organizational science and even psychology is now working on developing better ways to find the best people
mm-hmm.
and also find the people that want that job and want to stay in that job,
yeah.
you know? So I don't think there's that much to worry about in that realm of diversity anymore, because
mm-hmm.
now there's better, like, you'll see when you sit in an interview, they'll hire you better questions, you know, and they'll really be curious about you. One of the first questions almost every interviewer asks you is, you know, tell me about yourself. You know, and that question comes to me as like, oh, what should I say? You know, what do you want me to tell you about myself? I like pumpkin pie. I don't know. You know, so it's a it's a tough one. But that question is either going to make it or break it for you. You know, so before you even get on the phone for your first phone interview or sit in, you know, make sure you really understand what you want to say. Because very easily, the first thing that comes to our mind is like, okay, my name is Yusra Khan, I'm doing master's in this and this. What if you can twist it? You know, what if you can make it funny? What if you can tell a story? You know, do something creative that can really that make that person like, wow, this person is cool or interesting or different. But it has to be uniquely you. You know, it has to be you. So don't do something that's different from you. You know, don't act, but make it you. Own that story. Because that is, as long as that question is there, that's your chance to be like, wow them and show them who you are. You know, so when I used to interview people, I used to never ask this question because I was like, I got tired of asking it because they're like, well, my name is this. And they just basically recited their resume, you know. So and then I changed it. And sometimes what I would do is, I would take the resume. I'd be like, okay, so I have your resume. Now you interview me, and I will read the resume and I'll tell you about myself and tell me if I'm saying something wrong. You know, so there are so many times where I'm like, no, you're gonna interview me.
So with all your experience of interviewing and getting interviewed too, how do you think interviewing will be in like 20 or 50 years? How do you think the process will change? And do you think that there'll be this still line of demarcation saying, oh, you're in this or you're in that?
I think, you know, I did think about this. I think Google knows so much about me, you know, that I think that if I, you know, if an organization is looking to hire me, and if I say okay to Google, be like, you know, right now we provide a resume to LinkedIn. You know, at this point. But if I want to say, like, okay, you can check my browser to see what kind of a person I am, I bet you Google knows more about me than I know myself at this point. You know, there's so much data available. So I think that AI and data, I don't think there's going to be any interviews, because I don't think that interviews will be the most efficient way of hiring somebody because of all the biases that we just talked about, right? Things like a cold cup of coffee can impact, you know, your decision. So I think maybe in the future we'll be interviewed by robots, you know, that don't have biases, that don't, that are not racist or sexist, you know, and they genuinely want to make a decision that's better for the organization. They're able to read, you know, human expressions and understand the long-term effectiveness. Maybe we won't get hired as much because, you know, because the robot's going to be like, this is not the job for you. Sorry.
So,
yeah.
So maybe the human element itself adds its adds the authenticity of the organization being run by people. And I think that's the human element that strives in an organization is what makes a person want to work in an organization. If that is not there, I think there won't be an organization itself, because it would be just a machine running by itself.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. It's going to be like a building.
You bring up a really interesting point. I think right now, one of the struggles that some of the organizations are facing is when they're trying to hire people, when a recruiter that has a background in recruitment is trying to hire an engineer, they don't know what kind of questions to ask them, right? So that preliminary interview, which is the first interview they have to go past, because you can, people are easily lying on their resumes about so-and-so skills, right? And then it takes a lot of time for a person, because the engineers of the company are doing engineering. They're not hiring people. They're sitting in front of, you know, a desktop and they're doing engineering. So somebody has to decide whether or not this person is a good fit, you know? And it costs an organization some amount of money to pull people out to interview candidates, because there's a lot of people that are just lying about their experience to get jobs, you know? And I think for a very long time, organizations were seeing that people had lied on their resume because there were people hired that didn't have the skill set that they said that they had the skill set for, you know? And so now that's one of the things that, you know, hopefully in the future, there could be testing or something that could be done so that that preliminary, before you sit in front of the manager, you've already, they already know, okay, you didn't lie about your resume. Because at this point, you can technically lie on your resume for skills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I faced that, you know, when I was sitting in front of people. I'm like, so you have done this before? And they're like, yeah, I've done this before. I'm like, okay, can you tell me about it? And they would be like, you know, they wouldn't know what to say about it because they had lied. Mm-hmm. And that's costing me time that I was, I could have spent with my
sales managers
to train them to become better sales managers. But I'm sitting and interviewing people hours and hours and hours at a time to find the best person, you know. So hopefully in the future, I don't know if it's a positive thing to have robots interview us, but in some ways it is, I think. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for sharing your insight with us.
Yeah,
thank
you're welcome.
You. Yeah, this is very helpful.
Cool, cool. Thank you.
Got a big tape over us for creative disturbance.